the Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking out our show this week. We are so happy to be here around the table playing games and sharing our fun with you.
Doing our thing.
Doing our thing, says Matthew. Hear, hear, says Rob. And Brian is like, for sure.
Yes,
and Sam just does her laugh that everyone enjoys.
Sam adjusts her monocle and says, yes, quite.
Indubitably.
And then there's Rodrigo shaking his head.
Well, yeah, he always does that.
Uncontrollably.
So what's going on this week, Rodrigo?
Uncritical!
yeah. So... last time
on Critical Hit,
you guys went to bed.
We did. We
and
needed
we deserved
a rest.
It too, because we got attacked.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of us deserved it.
Hey, we all did our
did
part.
Did we deserve it or just need it?
Yeah, a couple of us desperately needed it.
So, you guys can all get some rest. You guys can get a full night's sleep.
Hooray.
And, you know, obviously get your hit points back, healing surges back, reset your dailies, reset to one action point.
Hooray.
Excellent.
You have an action point.
Yep.
I'm going to use mine right now.
To run to breakfast that much faster.
Yes, Scar walks in. Orm's just sitting at the table eating his cereal in his bathrobe. Good morning, Scar.
Scar walks out.
Orm smiles. Works every time.
60% of the time, it works every time.
So, yeah, what do you guys do when you get up?
Yep, probably just... head to breakfast.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Clean up.
Yeah.
See
stretch
if anyone
out.
Else is there?
Get some grub.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do they have for breakfast at Root Isle Island?
Anything you want, as long as it's eggs and some kind of meat.
And maybe spiders.
And maybe spiders.
Spiders would count as meat.
And sad. Also possibly eggs.
Yes.
Little Sparkle doesn't eat eggs or meat.
Well, that's going to be a problem.
It
only at
varies.
Breakfast time. At lunchtime, it's all vegetables.
It does vary, but it does tend to be kind of military type chow most of the time. Not a lot of fresh stuff, but that does come in every once in a while. You guys get plenty of fish, plenty of like. Cured meat.
Wait, what do they have to be cured of? Do I want to eat a meat? Never mind.
Well, they're cured, so should be fine.
But they were diseased previously, and you can have like a potato and some salty ham.
That you can't have that.
Tastes good on a biscuit.
Potato?
Orm slings a biscuit at Sakaar.
Sakaar catches it without even looking.
Chicken biscuit.
Potato tastes good on anything.
Yeah.
Especially a biscuit.
Okay. I mean, what am I supposed to say to that? I'm going to eat a damn potato biscuit, apparently.
Starch with your side of starch.
Yes.
Potato biscuits are really good.
Yeah, this would be great if only I could get some crackers to keep it moist.
Or Sakaar gets hit upside the head with some crackers.
I will physically fight you, Steven.
Is that in character? Because I don't know who this Steven is.
Is your name Steven? Okay.
So, do we have any idea where we're going next?
Well, we had 7 or 8 options.
Yes. Out of the 8 remaining gods... we have 8 options to choose from.
Actually, no, because we brought Corlon into it. Out of the 8 remaining gods, we now have 9 options, with possibly 10, because we also want to go and see the former Raven Queen.
Yeah.
I like Magluplia, considering that something is going on there right now, and if we wait, we might miss our window.
I agree. As much as I don't want to go see Goblin Kings.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think if we know how to get there, that really makes the decision for us.
You guys can get to any of these places.
Yeah.
The only island we don't know is where Vecna's is. Oh. That is my ultimate goal.
Do we know the name of Vecna's area?
I wonder if I could attach the hand of Vecna to my arm.
The Boulevard.
Please don't. It didn't seem to go so hot for the last person.
The entrails of hope or something. I don't even know.
The Vecna's holy city is called the Scarlet Abattoir.
Yeah, I was close. The entrails of humanity. Okay. So, if we travel to Malgubliet, will we not have the same problem of not fitting in that Saloth said he had issues with his spies?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely won't fit in, but the good thing is that the place seems to be in motion and lots of stuff is coming in, so we could maybe try to eke our way in through the chaos.
We've had bad luck with the illusionary hats.
Have we?
Yes, we were nearly killed in the Black Archive.
Just at Gamma's. We don't know that Maglubia has similar precautions, just for sure.
And we were nearly killed in the Black Archive. And I believe there was another time.
Yeah, but we've been successful with the hats just about as often.
I mean, we can. We'll certainly try them, and if necessary, you know, we can kind of play it by ear. I wish I had more information, but I'd say we try to get there at a distance, see what we can see from the shore. We can talk to Saloth and see how his guys even got in. I should have asked that yesterday. And if he's got an idea for a good approach.
Well. Once more under the breach, I say.
Sure.
Yeah, let's go. Orm is suddenly dressed in all of his robes and everything.
Yay, prestidigitation.
Yeah.
Two sloths.
Two sloths. What?
Two sloths? What?
It's just saying you guys are being real slow. Let's get the move on.
Orm finishes up his meat and eggs and potato biscuit.
Do you all go see Saloth?
I don't know if we need to.
I'll just go. It's fine.
Yeah, I think that the five of us were
a little
somewhat intimidating. Yeah.
Intimidating. Sure, that's the word I'd use.
Yep.
A little sparkle.
And Sikar will go see Saloth.
Okay. Well, Saloth is there at his desk.
Hey.
Hello.
Should have asked this yesterday, but we're thinking of making the trip to Snapstab to see what's going on. How did your spies get in?
I got them onto a supply ship that was meant to get some supplies to the privateers that are menacing Snapstab. And then they got the ship that they were on destroyed and crept in as Flotsam.
Interesting. I don't know that that's going to work for us so much. So is it actively under siege from privateers?
It was, but it's kind of a wave situation. Again, this isn't really, it's more of sort of a blockade, but the locals don't react well to anybody sitting on their water, so there's plenty of back and forth conflict, but it's not an outright invasion, at least not last I heard.
I don't know. I suppose you know how, if they'd be receptive at all to a diplomatic flag?
They might be. We haven't tried that.
Let's try it. That, honestly, with our group, the full stealth approach rarely works particularly well.
Honestly, the issue might be getting past any sort of blockade.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if how aggressive it is at the moment. We can always either try to blow away past or head back, depending on the situation.
Do we know who's doing the blockade? Oh, wait, I'm not there. My bad.
You're not there.
Is it...
Do we know who's doing the blockade?
Well, it's various companies.
Do we know... That's a good question. Oh, I meant to speak with Gardenia and possibly you. An old acquaintance, friend, someone I never actually knew of mine, is looking for work. He can't be trusted at all, but is incredibly competent. So I'm trying to maybe find a way to get him under a contract so that at least we can keep tabs on him.
Well, that would be more of a Sarza question, if you can narrow down his skill set.
Yeah.
Unless he is... It's the way that my organization tends to work is by being very quiet, and it
sure
sounds to me like he is possibly one of you.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. He's a Avenger of Grumpsh, so not especially quiet.
No, so I would say talk to Zarza about getting him under contract, but she's probably not going to want to because she has a pretty long and involved vetting process.
Yeah, well, we can at least give it a shot. Honestly, if you even the vetting process could be informative.
Sure.
All right. Well, thank you.
No problem.
Let's go chat with Sarza.
Okay.
Sarza chat time. And I am helping.
Okay. So Sakaralo Sparkle go talk to Sarza. Sarza is standing outside of her office. With another person who you guys have not seen before. She is very tall, gray skin, kind of curly ram horns, and is wearing a very nice kind of like maritime officer's jacket. Hmm.
So like a half orc?
Yep.
She'll nod. Hello, I'm, Maya Ludo.
Oh, hello. Captain Morik, this is Little Sparkle, and, codename Little Sparkle, and, Sakaar. This is our new captain for the Dawn's Arena.
Oh, wonderful. Very pleased to meet you.
She nods. Here you're up to all kinds of adventures out there.
Oh, that we are.
Well, and I look forward to it.
Great. Well, we're probably going to head out on another one. Possibly. How do you feel about blockades?
Oh, I love blockades. Well, are we blockading or running a blockade?
Probably running a blockade.
Oh, good. That's much easier.
Awesome. And Sarza, I was actually hoping to talk to you about a possible recruit.
The captain says, I'm going to go spend some more time on the ship. It's a pleasure to meet you, too.
Nice meeting you, too.
She walks off. Sarza crosses her arms. Okay.
So he's a mercenary Avenger of Grumpsh from my hometown, who I can't trust, but is very competent.
I see.
And he says he's looking for work. And I kind of want to make sure he doesn't find work with the enemy.
Oh, on the other side, I see. I see. Well, I can try and if you have a way to locate him, I suppose I could hire him for a specific bounty or something like that.
Wonderful. Yeah, he's currently at the... called Sage's Rectory.
All right. I'll see if I can have somebody make contact. I think Muyu's still out there.
Okay, great. Yeah. He should not be hard to find because he's palling around with a gnoll who seems to clear rooms wherever she goes.
I see.
Cool. Yeah, and his name is Alusha. He's a Kenku, like me.
Right, right. Okay, I'll look into it.
All right, thank you. I'll go rendezvous with the rest of the party.
Okay.
And I'll help.
You find the rest of the party.
We are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess let's head out.
So I think plan is scope out the situation at the blockade, either try to run it or retreat, depending on how bad it looks.
Sure.
Fly a flag of diplomacy and see if we can get an audience.
Is there... I'm guessing the entire island is blockaded.
Yes.
So there's nothing in the information we gained at the library which would give us a secret way in?
Don't think so.
There might be.
No. All right, well, yeah. We could look into the, what's it called? The manifest. No, manifest didn't have anything for there.
Well, it says multiple routes and supply manifests for the following cities.
Yeah, it wasn't one of them.
Okay.
Oh, but we could check back with Pixo to see if he's been able to decipher that map.
Correct.
Hey!
Let's go see Pixo.
Okay. Pixo is pretty much exactly where you left them.
Did you sleep?
He's looking down at the chart, and you just see, because, you know, you can only see one eye on the side that you're on, it just kind of, like, rolls towards you. Not, like, on the table. I mean, he, like, looked and he's like, do you know what this is?
No.
What is it?
That's why we brought it to you.
This is a map to Vecna's Island.
Whoa!
Oh.
Who gave this to you again?
Fien.
Fien?
And she didn't tell you what it was?
No, she just snuck it in with a scroll.
Why would she do that?
I don't know. I was super nervous that it was all a big trap to try to get us, like, nail us for stealing. But, I mean, I guess it makes sense to some degree in that, like, she and Vecna are probably rivals for knowledge and secrets and all that.
Yeah.
Maybe she wants us to go stab him.
Or take something?
Whoa. Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. But why wouldn't she just tell you?
Yeah.
Because she was being sneaky?
Why do gods need to be sneaky?
Maybe
to
she doesn't
want to
do something
other,
through official channels.
These islands are riddled with spies that are serving other gods, and maybe maybe she doesn't want Asmodeus to know that we have this and try to steal it from us and go there first.
What if the scroll didn't come from Thane herself?
I guess that's also plausible. That's someone like one of the archons that was working there might have done it, but that seems somewhat unlikely. But we double checked and everything to make sure that everything was on the up and up. So if it was pocketed by someone else, I don't know. But that changes everything.
That does.
There a chance that someone else that was on the island who's kind of sneaky maybe somehow...
If he had that, there's no way he would give it to us for free.
No, fair.
Well, I still need some time with this.
Okay.
This is very complicated.
Okay. Then maybe we'll go to SnapStab and leave you to work on that.
Okay. You guys have fun.
Thank you. Try to get some amount of rest at some point.
Oh, yeah, I should do that. And then he just like goes right back to the chart.
Do you need us to bring any food or anything?
Huh? Yeah.
Any particular preference?
Huh? What? Yeah.
We'll give you some.
I gotcha.
He has no idea what we're saying to him.
No, totally in the zone. Love it.
think we'll send some slop and water his way.
To Malgubliet.
Okay.
And the city of Snapstab.
The city of Snapstab.
You have to say it, Snapstab.
Snapstab.
Snapstab. Mm, mm,
mm. Swoopity slap.
Snapstab.
Like pipsqueak. Snapstab.
All right. So, what do you guys do now?
Get on a boat.
We board the Don's Arena in our shining regalia.
All right. When you get there, Sarza is on the ship talking to the captain. She's like, this is the rest of the group. This is Orym.
Hello.
Ket. And Randis.
Hi.
I'm sure you'll spend plenty of time together, so you can make more complete introductions later. You all have a destination?
Snapstab.
Snapstab.
Very well. We've been... Pixel already has worked on the charts for that, so that should not be an issue. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
And she gets off the boat.
Okay.
Well, this is a lively crew. So off to run a blockade and then deal with some goblins.
Yep. We're going to try to fly a diplomatic flag, see how bad the blockade is, and run it if we can, retreat if we can't.
But for us, it was Wednesday.
Sounds great. She goes up and takes the helm. Crew moves around and you guys disembark. No, not disembark. You guys take off.
Embark.
Embark.
Yes. Is there any difference between her captaining and Otto's captaining?
It's a lot easier for her to look over the console.
Well, I suppose so. But I mean, just in terms of the way the ship moves or the way the crew is acting, is there anything about it that feels quantitatively different under a different captain?
There is. I mean, obviously, it's a new captain and the crew is also pretty new because, you know, the old crew is also over there with Otto.
We killed the old crew and...
Yeah. So, this is kind of a brand new thing where everybody's getting to know each other. This crew has worked under Sarza, but like Sarza's like the big boss on the island. So, and she, you know, is not necessarily so much a ship captain as somebody who knew how the ship operated. Yeah. So, this person, Captain Morik, seems to have a lot more actual seafaring or astral seafaring experience, and the crew is somewhat a little bit more able to kind of do their thing without her either having to tell them what to do or kind of micromanaging them, what Sarza maybe did do a little bit. But it's not necessarily obvious. She doesn't do a lot of shouting. But she does do like some amount of signaling, like, you know, she'll catch somebody's eye and like direct them somewhere with like a gesture. And they seem to know what she means. And, yep, you guys leave Rutile Island and sail out into the Astral Sea. She activates the super solenoid, creating some energy rings. And then you guys slip through.
Yep.
So you guys find yourself elsewhere in the Astral Sea. Sort of up ahead of you, there's kind of a violet sort of diffused column of light, which you recognize as a particularly bright holy city. And sure enough, as you approach... there is a blockade. There are just like hundreds of ships just kind of parked a fair distance away. Off over there, you do see that there's some like fighting going on, like basically something's coming out of the city and maybe they're firing back. All of these ships seem like very disparate. They're all like ships like the Dawn's Arena in the sense that they are, you know, the big stone or metal astral ships as opposed to like the Gith ships. So these are all like, you know, straight up like astral pirate crews. You know, they're all kind of focused on keeping an eye on Snapstab, which you can kind of see off in the distance. So they're not in an extremely tight formation. Just by looking at it, anybody who has any actual like warfare experience can tell that they're probably supposed to like hang out and then like move in, attack the city for a while, move back out of range, move in, attack the city for a while, like a different group attacks the city for a while so that the city is constantly under siege, but no one particular group of ships is like constantly besieging the city, thus like maintaining their supplies. They're probably like, I mean, according to Salath, there probably are supply ships that come in and out to either do some quick repairs or like, or, you know, feed and heal, the blockade or the individual people doing the blockade. Yeah. So that means that, it's not necessarily a crazy idea for you guys to slip by. Like the actual act of sailing past them, it's not going to be difficult. It's then making it the additional, you know, however much distance to the island without getting blown up in the process. That's going to be the challenge.
Uh-oh. He said the C word.
Let's do it.
So like the captain just kind of looks at all of you. So that's the plan. Just run through. And, you know, this ship doesn't have any weapons.
Yeah.
It's got five weapons.
We are the weapons.
Yeah. we've got some casters, and hopefully people from the shore will see us flying a diplomatic flag and not fire on us, and we can try evasive maneuvers and stabbing anything that comes on board.
Do we have a diplomatic flag?
Oh, sure.
Okay, good.
It's a flag that you raise, and it says diplomacy is written on it.
Yeah, it just has a big number on it. It just has a Ket's diplomacy score.
On it. But it's Stabbums wrote it, so it's all backwards.
They look at it, they check their charts, they see their insight check, and they're like, yeah, let him through.
Yeah, that beats my passive insight. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and make this a proper skill challenge.
I heard the C word and I told you it was coming.
Basically, the Dawn's Arena slips through the blockade and about four ships immediately start turning and following you guys. Some of these ships are pretty fast, and so it's not very difficult, although there's kind of an initial period, you know, by the time it takes them to get themselves into gear and follow you, that you guys get ahead, but some of them definitely start catching up, and it's pretty clear that some of them have maybe some priests on board, as definitely some glowing beams of holy light start flying past you, and also some glowing beams of unholy light.
Ooh. They got both kinds.
Yep. So, you know, plus also like arrows and crossbows and stuff. But at this moment, you guys are a little too far away for them to use those effectively. So why don't you guys all give me an initiative roll?
Okay. Oh, no. Okay.
I don't know that I've updated my initiative, so let's look.
What we get for Orym?
30.
Okay. Randis.
27.
27?
Yep.
A little sparkle.
40.
Ket.
15. Ugh. I could be worse.
Yeah. And Sakaar.
It could be as low as a 14.
26.
Okay. So at the top of the round, we have Little Sparkle.
So can I basically try to like stand near the captain and you know, look out and offer advice on evasive maneuvers, you know, basically suggesting like, all right, well, they're gaining on us this way, and if we move that way, it'll look like we're doing one thing, or if we like, you know, push something to the side, it'll give us the appearance of going one way, and basically trying to like help her juke them out.
Using what ability?
Bluff.
Ooh.
Hmm.
I would also be okay with diplomacy if that helped.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Which one?
We'll go with bluff.
Cool. Sweet. That's what I like to hear. It's my best skill. Oh, I have a 42.
Okay. 42 is a success. Which takes us to Orym.
I suppose since this ship is rocking back and forth, swerving back and forth, if I wanted to get up to the crow's nest area, I could use acrobatics, correct?
You could, but making it up to the crow's nest isn't necessarily something that's going to help the ship at this point. I mean, you could just be at the crow's nest.
Ah, okay.
Or have started at the crow's nest if you wanted.
Okay, that is fine. Then I will try to get some of these holy and unholy blasts away from us by using Arcana to dispel magic.
Okay.
Ooh.
43.
That's a success.
And so Orym's up there, and you just see him raise his hands, and they just kind of fly out one at a time, like he's swatting these things away, and they just kind of veer off, like they're being slightly deflected from the ship and the people on the ship.
It is magnificent. next up is Randis.
Sorry, Randis.
Yes.
You hosed him.
I'm taking it that Keeper's Prescience does not work in skill challenge.
Keeper's Prescience, what is that?
It's my new Epic Destiny feature. At the start of each of your turns, roll a d20. You can use the result of that roll in place of any one d20 roll you make before the start of your next turn.
I'm going to say probably not. I need to take a closer look at it. Definitely because it's once per turn is like it's a little strong.
Fair enough. Had to try.
This is giving you two chances to fail.
And so the goblins did seem to be already in a kerfuffle with other ships.
Yeah, but that's on a different part of the island.
Okay. Maybe not that then. Could I use either like history or religion to try to yell out some kind of precedent to prevent attacking under some old rite or...
To prevent the goblins or the pirates from attacking you?
Whatever's... Well, so are we under attack by pirates predominantly, or is it?
Yes, you are at this point only being attacked by pirates.
Just the pirates.
Just the pirates.
Okay, can I then use either of those to beseech aid from the goblins to try to have them to form a defensive ring around us?
Okay, I will let you semaphore the goblins using history.
History? Okay.
Yep.
I will attempt that.
That might work.
46.
46 is a success. All right. So Randis runs to the front of the ship and produces a spotlight and begins covering it and uncovering it, at which point a medium-sized house flies out of Snap Stab and lands pretty close to one of the ships that are chasing you. Basically throwing everything into disarray, you know, largely helping you guys, but also kind of screwing up your trajectory. It's not exactly clear whether they're helping you or they just got mad and so they threw a house at you.
Amazing.
But either way, it helped.
It's my new possibly favorite projectile.
Whatever works.
Which takes us to Sakaar.
Well, obviously, what just happened changed our battlefield. And so, Sakaar, with the eye of the tiger, or the snake, whichever you know that he has.
Tiger snake.
Tiger snake. Can see that while the captain is expertly bluffing with the help of our own little Sparkle, one guy, you know, distracted by a house flying at us, of course, one guy is slipping up and starting to, like, come around us and do something marinery. It's something very marinara. And so Sakaar, using his perception, is going to catch this and warn people so that we can, you know, immediately, you know, tack the mizzenmast to the barge sail. Yar.
I'll allow it.
Ha! Oh, how do you feel about a 39?
39 is a success. Getting some mileage out of that new feed, I see.
Yeah, I can double roll my perception now like I can my acrobatics or my athletics. And I even remember the shortcut.
All right. So as Sakaar points out, other ships are now converging on you, but he is able to give you all enough of a heads up as that happens for you to basically the closest ships that are converging on you, you guys fly are able to get past, but there are others coming towards you. I was just going to take us to Ket.
Which I will determine their actual trajectories and their decision making with insight so as I can guide our good captain on a path of least resistance.
Okay. I'll allow that.
Yay. 42.
42 is a success.
Yay.
Yep. So Ket gets a sense for which way they're going and informs the captain. The captain changes your trajectory to match. And then she says, boy, you guys sure are talkers.
Yeah, we are.
When it works.
It's what I do, ma'am. It's what I do.
All right. That's going to take us to the top of the round. And it's going to be to Little Sparkle.
So what's the current situation at this point?
The current situation is, so you got the Astral Sea, right?
Yeah.
So imagine your ship right at the center of the frame. Mm-hmm. Then imagine a fan of other ships in a semicircle around it, trying to either converge on it or trying to converge on its future position.
Mm-hmm.
And also imagine some miscellaneous pieces of architecture flying out of your destination.
Nice. Then I was thinking of if this works for you, uncorking one of my wondrous items, the jar of smoke that I've got, looking at the captain, be like, how do you deal with fog?
They're like, oh, I've got pretty good eyes.
Great. So yeah, I've got a wondrous item. Let me double check the deal with it. And so I was thinking of pulling the cork on that and letting out some fog and the jar of steam, that's what it's called, to try to give us a little bit of cover from the missiles that are coming at us and trying to take advantage of like the splashing and the projectiles to make it a little bit harder to get a bead on us and seeing if our ship can make a stealth check.
Stealth ship.
Stealth ship. I'll allow it.
Sweet. Well, I've got a 33.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to make it.
All right, then I will use always a natural to reroll that.
Okay.
Really?
Wow. Oh, another 33.
I mean, it is kind of a stretch to try to hide a whole boat.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I think the universe is trying to tell you something. You could spend an action point.
No. I think, as you say, the universe is trying to tell me something there.
Okay. We'll call that a failure as a little sparkle also runs to the front of the ship, uncorks her bottle, and realizes that this bottle produces exactly enough to hide one person.
Yep.
Shoot.
Sets up a
I am very
signal.
Concealed on the deck of the ship.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's always true. You can hide in your own shadow.
That's also true.
That's going to take us to Orym.
So, I wonder, is Randus doing his semaphore correctly? I mean, they just threw a house in our direction.
Maybe.
Okay, I would like to use history.
How dare you?
To ensure that Randus is using the right signals, the right sequence to send the message to the goblins.
Okay. And okay. Sure.
All right. Ooh, 31.
31 is not going to make it.
It's because Randus is like, hey!
Yeah.
Checking you got, my
it's
guys,
dot,
like,
dot,
like,
dash.
Trying to pull it away from each other and sending a terrible code.
Your mother was a what? I mean,
you want to?
Yeah,
you wanna
I think I do.
Point for a reroll?
I think I do.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
36.
Oh, no.
36 is also not going to make it.
Okay, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
So I'm
no,
going to say that's exactly
like
what
it.
Happens. Orym is like, Randus, let me check if you're doing it right. And you guys are just kind of
slapping at
pulling,
each other.
Yeah, pulling it back Slap and forth. Fighter. And send. Basically, you pull it back and forth, at which point we'll say a small townhouse is sent. And this time, rather than arcing over you, it basically is being skipped like a rock on the astral sea directly at you. So we'll just leave it there and see what Randus does about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now's your time to use your arcana.
Yeah. Turn the giant light into a giant laser.
Something like that. I'm thinking, could I make using arcana, jet a flame to push it up and over the ship as it bounces towards us and hopefully into the pirate ship chasing us behind?
I'll allow it.
Okay. What is Arcana these days? All right.
17.
Nope.
You could do it.
Oh,
my God.
That's not right.
No, it's not a plus three.
No, that'd be 45.
Yeah, 45 will do it.
That's much better.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 36, not plus three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, Randus. Lobs a bomb at the at the incoming structure, basically exploding a part of it, which sends it sailing over you guys, and we'll just say falls directly onto the closest ship behind you.
Excellent.
Nice.
And that's gonna. Did I already move this? Yeah.
Did you? I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, because you guys had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did.
We did, because, you moved it for Randus.
Yeah. So it's Sakaar's turn.
Yeah, because the only way I got a second turn is if we got two failures beforehand.
Okay.
Yep. Here's the thing that's important about being hit with a townhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts. Being nearly hit with a townhouse does not hurt nearly as much, but bits and pieces of debris, of garbage, if you will, from that townhouse might come raining down onto the ship, and it would require an extreme athletic person to leap into the air with his two swords and bat away the falling debris from a house arcing over us and hitting the ship right behind us. A very athletic sort of thing, I believe. Not acrobatic. No. That's different. This is athletic, my friend.
This is about
the leaping and the running and the jumping.
I'll allow it.
All right. Good, because I've already, you know, rolled it. 42.
42 is a success. So, yep, Sakaar or Randus blows up a house as it skips towards you. And, yep, there's all kinds of bricks and chunks of wood and, I don't know, plates.
Yeah, toilet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the toilet. And,
what appears to be a dinette set for some reason.
Sakaar jumps into the air and knocks most of the bigger pieces away as they're coming down.
Who knew Malgublia had an IKEA?
So that is going to take us to Ket. Now that I moved the thing, or did I forget
it? No, again? This time
you need to move it this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ket, for the win.
Yeah, because it's all on Ket, me. Ket,
for the win. It is all on you, Ket.
For the win.
Maybe we should come back next week and see how you do.
Yep.
That'd be mean.
On critical hit. Bye.
We would never do that to you, dear listener. Or would we? Come back next week and find out.
Bye.
But then come back and let's do the rest of this episode.
There's a secret hidden track at the end of the episode.
The Easter egg is the rest of the episode.
We reveal that Ket beefed it and we're all dead.
I'm trying to figure out a way to justify a diplomacy check here, but I'm not really a...
There are no horses here.
Well,
sea horses.
Off the goblins.
Astral sea horses.
Or I guess Orym did.
Orym pissed off the goblins. That was clearly a message that said your mother was a structure.
All right. I will activate the Star Ruby ring.
Your mother's built like the house that just got thrown at us.
which lets me, when making a charisma-based skill check during a skill challenge, I can roll twice and take the better result.
Nice.
Yeah.
See? You aren't the only one that gets... I'm not being left out of that anymore. Actually, I could have done this ages ago because we got the Ruby Ring last season, but...
On critical
before.
This is why
I tend to try and save it because the secondary effect is better, but you have to hit a milestone, and we very rarely hit milestones.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going to diplomatize the goblins, let them know that we mean no harm. We're trying to get through so we can speak with them and maybe help end this blockade.
Okay.
Let me double check.
Roll it.
My diplomacy we mean exactly as much harm as goblins like.
Actually.
Roll a 20. Not a target number, but an actual 20-sided die.
I'm also going to go ahead and throw a beguiling tongue in on this.
Sure.
Because it's plus 5 and it's been counter power. Overkill.
Hey.
Damn Skippy overkill. All right.
Ooh.
That's a 39.
Wow.
That previously succeeded, right?
That does succeed.
Woo!
Wow.
The high roll on that was a 7.
Yeah, I had a plus 32 to this.
You had a plus 32 and you still got a 39, which goes to show you, never hatchet your counts before they
good
check
thing, it. Good thing he overkilled it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Overkill. Overkill.
All right, so Ket now runs to the front of the ship and produces a flag or two flags and starts waving them around. And as you do, there is you spot way off in the distance at the walls of the city, there is in fact some sort of humanoid that is also waving flags, and you're not entirely sure at first what they're trying to tell you, but the captain figures it out and basically just like jams it in reverse.
Okay.
As essentially most of the ships shoot past you, at which point these like just enormous spikes come out of the astral sea and skewer all of them as you guys kind of coast to a stop next to them.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
And then a bunch of them explode.
Wow.
Sweet. That's good defense.
It's slow motion. Can they explode in slow motion, please?
With some doves flying in the background?
Yep.
Yeah, they explode in slow motion. You know, the ship, like, kind of coasts to, like, basically, I don't know what the sea equivalent of skittering to a stop is, but, you know, just, like, kind of...
coming to a rest.
Yeah, pants to the side as it comes around, so each of you is, like, separately illuminated by the explosions. Just as quickly, the spikes retreat, and there's still ships behind you, but they are ships that were kind of following the action. They were too far away to do something. Now they're kicking it into gear, but you are able to make it into essentially an outer arch of Snapstab's wall, as you see basically a rain of ballista bolts shoot out past you to keep those other ships away.
Nice. And we get to play the victory song that we get every time we have a victorious skills challenge.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. Or something like that. They won't get a suit.
Old time rock and roll?
I thought he was all doing right. Come Sail Away from Styx.
Actually, that would be thematically appropriate. Except for the fact that it's got like a 17-minute Boudelé solo on a Moog synthesizer in the middle.
And it ends up being aliens.
Yeah, it ends up being a spaceship.
I think it is probably that point in Blinded by the Light where the guy is playing chopsticks.
And Blinded by the Light.
Yeah, that would be our music. Do, 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 do. Perfect.
No, that's chopsticks.
Right, it's in the middle of Blinded by the Light. Okay. It's emblematic of unearned confidence and foolhardiness in the universe, and thus it is our theme song.
So. All right. Well, we'll see if we can secure the rights. Okay. Two minutes of Blinded by the Light.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, 30 seconds of Blinded by the Light. Public domain, I swear to you.
Yeah, try getting that past YouTube censors. Looks like we're safe for the moment. I know, right? Why don't we take a quick break? We'll be back next week to find out where we're at and how friendly the inhabitants of this island are.
Well, they have house shooters, so...
Well, you know, I've got questions about that. But we'll find out next time on Critical Hit. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I hope you were on the edge of your seat as much as we were, especially when it came down to Ket's final role.
Yes.
But good job, Ket. Or Rob. In this case.
I try.
Yeah. No, that really helped out. Listeners, if you have questions, podcast@majorspoilers.com. Don't forget, check out patreon.com if you want to hear next week's episode early. And until then, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.